morning to be able to come together and worship our God. But I feel a little strange this morning, and my subject is how to grow old. And I look around me and I'm preaching to the choir. But anyway, it's taken from Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 to 7. And of course, that starts out saying, remember also your Creator. In the last couple of years of my mother's life, she developed Alzheimer's, something that she absolutely dreaded. Her reasoning for this fear was what she had observed in others, and in conjunction with her faith, her fear of this malady grew. For many years, she, along with a few other ladies in our church, had a singing group called the Songbirds, of course. And every week they would go to sing at the Red Deer Nursing Home. A gentleman from our congregation lived there because of a severe case of dementia. All of his life, he had been a very strong Christian gentleman, and he was very much respected as such. He had been decorated by Queen Beatrix of Holland, as well as Prime Minister Golda Meir of Israel, for his saving of many Jewish families during World War II as a member of the Dutch underground. And I believe that number was close to 400 people. Unfortunately, in his dementia, he lost all concept of right and wrong. And as a result, became quite abusive to the staff and also to other people, including the other client. Something which was just totally out of character. I mean, he was a radio technician. And when he would come to our house to work on our telefunken radio, he would come in a suit. You know, that's the type of person he was. Just everything correctly done. But he, of course, you know, became abusive that way, and that was something that my mother observed, and it affected her. As with all siblings, your memory of what your parents did and what they were like varies. And I found that out, that a lot of my memories are different than my siblings. But anyway, I think that my mother's concept of God was one of a retributive, constantly watching over your shoulder for you to do something wrong, and that you would pay for all those sins that you committed. The thought of all that punishment, and along with the threat of isolation from God, is what produced that fear in her. Maybe that is why she would phone me half an hour after church to ask me why I hadn't gone to church that Sunday morning. Mothers. I stand to be corrected, but in my mind, that fear, when she was placed in that same nursing home, influenced her to give up, and so willing herself to die before she committed unpardonable sin, and thus lose her place in heaven. For the last month or so of her life, she never spoke, seldom even opened her eyes. She died with that fear, almost, but I'll come back to that later. My oldest brother, a pastor, conducted the funeral service for Mum, and he used this same passage from Ecclesiastes, which brought a lot of comfort to us as a family. And as a family, we fully believed that Mum joined Dad in heaven, as well as the gentleman I spoke of. That gentleman, by the way, I found out quite recently, was none other than John Oostra's grandfather. What a beautiful example of generational faith and blessing, in spite of actions done when he was no longer in control of his mind. Although this passage is not specifically suggestive to eternal life, other than possibly verse 7, it is very representative of our growing older with the experiences that we may have had. The author obviously was a follower of Jehovah and had a concept that man was composed of both a physical and spiritual life, and as such, we belonged to him. Most translations start this passage with, "Remember also your Creator," while others just say, "Remember your Creator." That word "also" is suggestive of two things. First is that Ecclesiastes suggests that we reflect on our humanity living in a physical world. And secondly, we should also remember then that we are created by God and as such have a spirit within us with which to communicate with him. While in our youth we often see ourselves as indestructible, death being the furthest thing from our thoughts, we are told that this is the very time that we should not only remember, but acknowledge that we are his. And not just to acknowledge him, but to live our lives dedicated to him. Our passage this morning goes on to give the reason why this is so important. So Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 to 7. "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." The second half of verse 1 starts off by saying, "Before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.'" This is followed by 6 verses to describe why it is that we would come to the point of finding no pleasure in those days. I sometimes wonder if the affluent lifestyle that we have in this country ever lets us fully come to the point of saying that we really don't have a pleasure in aging. Because of the figurative way that Ecclesiastes writes, there's really no definitive description of what maladies lie ahead. But it does not take much of an imagination to see where all this is going. Verse 2 very possibly refers to the dimming of the mind. For instance, dementia, Alzheimer's, and many other diseases that can affect the mind, causing a person to say, "There's just nothing more to look forward to. It just goes from bad to worse." This is followed by a unique, almost comical description of our physical decay as we age. We can all agree that time itself takes no prisoners, so that what we witness in aging is really common to all mankind. The keepers of the house refers to the hands, while the knees that slowly start to give out are referred to as strong men stooping. Although it does not say so, I think it can also point to a back bent for many years of heavy toil. When grinders cease, or our teeth wear out, losing more and more of them, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. But then joy of all joys, we have a fix for that. Dentures. Windows are often used to describe the eyes. For example, the eyes are the windows to the soul. When they begin to fail, we have a fix for that as well, like what I have on my face. Many of the temptations and distractions that come our way are through the use of our eyes, which is why Job states, "I have made a covenant with my eyes." The many images that the world forces on us can very easily catch a person in a moment of weakness to succumb to temptation. And more temptations come to us through advertising. Again, the visual concepts, somehow making it somewhat palatable. But then we read in chapter 11, verse 9, where he writes, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." In the next description, there's a much lengthier explanation of a loss of faculties, including the loss of sleep. The closing of the doors or the ears to shut out the sound of traffic, even the sounds of work. When the sounds of birds that would wake us from sleep begin to grow fainter. Well, Sandra has a fix for that. And with her help, we now no longer have to miss a single sermon. There are some of the maladies that manifest themselves as we age. They affect everyone differently, but they all happen. I know of and worked with an 84-year-old man whose health and attitude make me look like a cripple. But by and large, most people are affected one way or another. The result of all this decay, along with its association, with its associated pain, is what robs the joy of life from many who experience it, as we find in the last part of verse 1, when you will say, "I find no pleasure in those days." And that's the physical side of the equation. Now let's take a look at the mental and the spiritual side. Verse 5 says, "They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails or is no longer stirred." When I was younger, it was exciting to approach the edge of a cliff or a mountain and peer down into the depths. But because of some experiences, I now have gained a much healthier attitude toward approaching that same edge. Remember, every day now, there are reports of world unrest, with mass migrations of different folks. This comes along with the conspiracy theories about a religious world domination, further adding to our anxieties and fears. Remember, all around us, friends age and die. Funerals almost become an outing. Much time is spent in mourning for these losses. This can come also with regrets and misgivings. Remember, I'm beginning to understand why the book of Ecclesiastes is sometimes referred to as the book of regrets. Because if we ponder everything that the author writes, our future looks pretty dismal. Every one of us will experience many of the same feelings, making us ask the question, is there no more to look forward to? Remember. Remember what? The answer, of course, is in verse 1. Remember also your Creator. Ecclesiastes is not the only time Scripture tells us to remember or not to forget. Recently, Terry mentioned that our human condition constantly tries to separate us from God. And we all know that to be true. So, what to do to prevent that? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 to 16, we read, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, something that your fathers did not know, so that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Throughout the Old Testament, we read that every time a momentous event occurred where God's hand was visible, the Israelites were instructed to build a pyre or a monument, usually a small collection of large rocks, so that whenever they would pass that way, they would look at that monument and remember. Remember what God had done there. They would also use that time to teach their children. So we see that in the Old Testament, continually the people are reminded to remember God and to revere him. In Deuteronomy, the Israelites are given a long list of blessings if they would remember, but even a longer list of curses if they didn't. Many were the rules and laws which had to be adhered to, not to mention the sacrifices that they would have to make in atonement for their sin. All in all, they had reminders almost every day. Deuteronomy 31 even speaks of God's foreknowledge of what would happen. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. So, how does that then play out for us who now live in the age of grace? Even though we have the same propensity to walk away from the Father as the Israelites had, we have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who works overtime on our behalf to constantly remind us of God's incredible love. Now, instead of 600 laws to keep, God's Spirit leads us to keep us fully aware of our need for him and to help keep us on track. That's why in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it states, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life." If I look around this room, I'm honored to witness many seniors who indeed have kept their hearts pure. As best they could, they stand out in a crowd, and I'm thankful for them. Their faith encourages me. Well, my mother was very much the same. Fully aware of her own sinfulness, she nevertheless did all she could to keep her heart pure. And although she did not always acknowledge it, at the end of her life, she was reminded of just how her remembering, not only in her youth, but in all of her life, came into play for the assurance of her final destination. It happened this way. My sister and her husband, Len, would visit Mom in the nursing home almost every single day. Len, being a country gospel buff, would often bring his guitar and sing for Mom, and she loved it. Just a day or two before she passed, they went in to visit, and after playing a few songs, Len asked her if he could read his favorite song to her. Well, she didn't respond, as she was probably beyond that point, or so we thought. So he opened his Bible, and he began to read Psalm 91. As he read, Mom's eyes opened, and as she looked at them, a huge smile spread across her face. And just as quickly, her eyes closed for the last time, and she passed the next day. I know that when that psalm was read to her, it woke up her spirit and gave her the assurance that she so desperately wanted and needed. I fully believe that our children today face 10 times the hurdles to a trust in God that we had. But with God's Spirit and us as reminders, we can help our children to remember their Creator, not just in their youth, but in all their lives, so that when they come to the point that many of us are at, they also can walk with full confidence into the presence of a Father whose incredible love for us paved the very path to lead us there. Ignoring the bountiful lives that we live, which is also a gift from the Father. Do we remember? When our trust in Him fails, as it can do we remember? When our children walk away from the Father's love because the world has convinced them to do so, do we remember? In all our ways and trials, and growing old complaints, with failing health and loss of faculties, we not only should desire, but actively keep our hearts with all diligence so that we can deal with all of these issues that life can and will throw at us. So then, how do we grow old and come out winners? If we need to remember our Father when we are young, how much more so as we grow older, facing all of these maladies? Father, thank you for the gift of being able to remember. At times, remembering can cause us grief or other emotions, but through the working of you, Holy Spirit, we have a positive and joyful reason to remember. Because if we do remember, you, not just in our youth, we can look forward to the fulfillment of all your promises to us. Fulfillments for which we will be eternally grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for paving the way for that joyful reunion when it comes. Amen.